Good morning. Good morning, beloved. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you that once again we have the breath of life in us today. Let us never take that for granted that we woke up this morning and we have the opportunity to be here in church this morning, to gather together here. And now, Father, as we have gathered here in the name of Jesus, with the purpose to sing praises this morning as we start off this service, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be here present with us. Amen. And that as we come to you in spirit and in truth, you will manifest yourself here among us. And we thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Sits me at his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He sits me at his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He sits me at his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Straight paths before my feet, his banner over me is love. He puts straight paths before my feet, his banner over me is love. He puts straight paths before my feet, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Puts a smile right on my face, his banner over me is love. He puts a smile right on my face, his banner over me is love. He puts a smile right on my face, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's and he is mine, his banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's and he is mine, his banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's and he is mine, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
You know, it says David danced before the Lord, right? It says Michael got all bent out of shape about it. But he was so excited about it. And I'm wondering, was it contagious? Did it spread to everybody who was around him? I think it did. I think that they said, look, here's our king. He's dancing before God. I mean, he was so happy. The Ark of the Covenant was coming home. He was dancing, and the people started dancing with him. Make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord, and dance before Him. How majestic is your name?
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. Majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of peace, mighty God, O Lord God Almighty. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of peace, mighty God. Oh Lord, God almighty. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of peace, mighty dead in sin, but now I'm saved by grace. When the rapture comes, I'll be taken from this place. But while I'm here on earth, I'm gonna preach the word, and I'm not gonna stop till everyone has heard. I've got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart. I got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart, and that's what makes me whole. Well, Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my King. All I want to do is just worship Him and sing. I used to pray by minutes, but now I pray by hours. 'Cause when the Holy Ghost comes down, He gives us all the power. I've got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart. I got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. And that's what makes me whole. If you are in bondage, He will set you free. If you are blind, He can make you see. Devil, take notice, you'd better turn and run. 'Cause in the name of Jesus, the battle has been won. I've got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart. I got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. And that's what makes me whole. I've got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my heart. I got that resurrection life of Jesus in my heart. And that's what makes me whole.
Amen.
Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Like a sea, I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think we can lose focus of the fact that sometimes this is God's world. We get consumed with our little things that we're doing, right? And then there's the local things that we're doing, and then there's things that affect us nationally, and then there's things that affect us globally, and we just get so consumed up with different things, and then we forget, this is God's world. Let me never forget that though the wrong seemed off so strong, we're seeing that, are we not?
Amen.
God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Isn't that what Pastor John was talking about last week? Second coming of Christ?
Amen.
That's when justice will be carried out here. But for the present time, we just push on, right? We pray, we fast, we intercede, we sing praises, whether it's in the shower or whether it's here. But nevertheless, we just continue on. Near to the heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us or wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Or still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him.
Amen.
That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. At the end of the third verse, it says, one little word shall fell the devil.
Amen.
And then the fourth verse starts off, that word above all earthly powers. What is that word? Jesus. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, a fortification, something we can hide behind that never fails us. Amen.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Amen.
You'll find the words to that in Revelation chapter 15.
Song of the Lamb, saying, great.
shall stand true. Are thy ways, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee? O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest.
Thank you, Lord.
You'll find this song twice in the Bible. When the Israelites got out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. They sang the song of Moses. But it's also sung in the book of Revelation. Or at least it will be. It hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. It's a good song. It's mentioned twice in the Bible.
Amen.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will never praise you.
Lord, you are God, and we will praise you. You are God, we will exalt you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. His loving kindness is better than life, and our lips shall praise him. Hallelujah. Our lips shall praise him. Thus shall we bless the Lord while we live. We shall lift up our hands unto thy name. Oh, praise your holy name. Our soul is satisfied by marrow and fatness, and our mouth shall praise thee, O Lord, with joyful lips. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Hallelujah. To show forth the loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. For your compassions fail not, they new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord our God. Great is thy faithfulness. We want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. O Lord, we recall in the book of Acts, when Jesus assembled with them, and he said to them, I give you this commandment, that you shall not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you heard of me. For John truly baptized in water with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for the promise that you gave them there. And you told them, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the utmost part of the earth. And Lord, we pray the same thing here. We are in the upper room. We are all in unity. We are all in one accord. And we pray for a move of your Holy Spirit as we never seen before. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, what you can do, O Lord, in this body of believers. And we want to thank you. And when the day of the Pentecost fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. Suddenly he came from heaven, a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and he filled the house where they were sitting. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and started speaking with other tongues, as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. You're not restricted. You're not limited. Oh, Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what you did, oh, Lord, 2,000 years ago, you can do today. And we're looking forward. We're looking forward for a move of God. A move of God that will sweep us off our feet. It will be no more apathy. It will be no more shyness. It will be, oh, Lord, excitement all the way in this body of believers. And we want to thank you today for victory in this body of believers, we pray. For the harvest out there is great, but the labors are few. And we pray, O Lord, let us be part of the labors for the harvest, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, create in us a clean heart, O God, we pray today in the name of Jesus. Oh, give us that anointing, give us that power, and use us, send us, not our will, but thy will be done, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we want to see victory in this body of believers. We want to see many breakthroughs, broken spirits and a broken contrite hearts. Give us the gift of repentance. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for having it today. Your way, not our way, but your way, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for anointing the pastor today as he will bring the message to us. Oh, give him the power, give him the anointing, give him the freedom to preach, and let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory. And now as we are about to receive this offering, which you told us in your word, oh, thank you, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And as every man, woman, and child, as they purpose in their heart, let them give, not grudgingly, not of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, in the name of Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may have always all sufficiency in all things. Oh, may abound to every good work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you stand good in your promises. And we bless you and thank you and we worship you, our Lord, our God. We thank you for everyone that gives a testimony that you give them the anointing, give them the power, that your name be glorified also people with our testimonies. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.
Okay, good morning. We're going to have testimony time this morning, but we're having just one testimony this morning. It's from Brother Jim White. He's in the printing business. And so all those other good testimonies, we'll hear them next week. Okay, so Brother Jim.
Lord bless you all. It's good to be here this morning, and really enjoyed the singing and the worship time. You know, you go to different churches, and there's all kinds of different songs, and it's nice to come where you know most of the songs. But it is a joy and privilege to be here this morning, and most of all to be able to share with you the greatness of our Father God and Lord Jesus, our Savior. You know, there's so many things when you get to be my age, there's so many things you could share, and there's no way I could get it all in this morning, but so I'm going to try and just kind of highlight some areas and just trust that God will minister to you this morning through that. But there's two things that I would like you to remember, or my prayer is, that will minister to you today. Is one is that God is faithful. No matter what, you know, we all go through things, right? But God is faithful. And the other thing is that He loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. No matter what situations we face or what we do, you know, not that it makes it right if we goof up, but God's there. He's faithful and loves us and will forgive us. I was born in the state of Washington and grew up in just an average home. I really consider I have a tremendous heritage. My family were Christians, but my grandfather, he was the first man to make a Christian movie. And then later years, I think he was about in his mid-60s, he went to Japan as a missionary and came back at 98 years old, and he died 3 months before he was 100, but up to 3 months before that, he was still teaching Bible studies in the retirement home he was in. And, you know, just serving God. And I really consider that an honor to have that in my background. But as I was growing up, like I said, I was in an average home, and we were provided for with food and clothes and everything, but there was a, my parents were so busy involved in so many things that they didn't have a lot of time for us kids, and I guess I was one that needed a little more attention. So when I was 14, I left home, went to Southern California, and lived with my cousin there. And from there, I went into the service. And I had known the Lord. I accepted the Lord when I was 8 years old and served the Lord. But when I went into the service, I got away from the Lord. I didn't get involved in drinking and, you know, a lot of carousing, things like that. But I just kind of walked away. And but, you know, once the Lord puts something in your heart, it's there and you can't forget it. I remember a friend of mine once, the word of the Lord came to him and he says, I've got my hook in your jaw and you can come easy or come the hard way, but I've got you either way. And I think that's the way it is, you know, when our we teach our young kids from a youth up. But at any rate, at night when I would go to bed, because I knew what was right and I knew where I was, and my prayer every night, I did pray every night, was, Lord, take me back into your fold before I die. Because I had that longing there, but even though I wasn't serving the Lord like I should. And in New York, I was stationed in Buffalo, New York area, in a guided missile base, and we had a blizzard, which is typical back there in the winter. And so our neighbors, we were out in the country in a guided missile base, and the neighbor was a farmer, had a tractor, and so I had borrowed his tractor to plow the area. And of all days, I was on the missile crew that day, and of all days, a general flew in on a helicopter and decided for a surprise inspection. And I wasn't there to run the control panel because I was taking the tractor back. So my battery commander called me in and said, well, you got two choices. You got extra duty 2 hours a day for 2 weeks or restriction for 2 weeks. And I figured, well, it's winter time. You know, what am I going to do? So I'll take restriction for 2 weeks. So when that was over, the first day Sundays we could go to church because it was a small base. We didn't have church. So I got in my car and I got out to go to church, and I thought, now where am I going to go? I hadn't been to any church in the area, and I went to a church that I had seen and left just right at the end of the service and the next week. And then the following Wednesday night was my first night that I was actually off restriction. And so another snowstorm was coming, and I got out the gate before they closed it. And I'm driving around, thought, now what am I going to do? It's snowing. Where am I going to go? So, oh, well, they have church Wednesday night. I'll go and wait a few minutes till after it starts. So I went in, and they hadn't started the service yet. There was a pastor, his wife, his daughter, one other person, and myself. And, of course, I got caught because he had seen me for a couple of weeks. And so the Lord used that, even those things like that, he used that to help to get me back on track. And I started attending the church and got back with the Lord, and thank God for that. But as I went along, I got out of the service, and instead of coming back to California, because I was offered a job there a couple of weeks before I was discharged, I went ahead and stayed there, and I married there and went to work in a plant where we made all kinds of fiber parts, little tiny things, bigger things, but a good majority of them were made out of fiberglass. And, of course, they make you sign a deal when you go to work there. Are you allergic to anything? Well, you know, how do you know if you've never been involved with different things? And I put no, of course, because I needed a job. Well, after a few weeks, I began to have some problems, like itch a lot and sores. And so I went to this went on for, I don't know, several weeks. Finally, I went to the company doctor, and they sent me to a doctor in town there, and he put me under this purple light and gave me some kind of a salve, which didn't really do a whole lot. And progressively, this got worse and worse. And during this time, our first child, my son, was on the way. And, of course, if I quit my job, we wouldn't have insurance. And so I continued to work and got worse and worse and worse over the weeks. And as it went on, I begin to get open running sores. And most people, when they work in something like that, you can take a cold shower, especially with fiberglass, because it closes your pores and wash it off. But I got worse and worse, and it got to the point where I literally had open running sores on my hands and my arms because we wore short sleeve shirts. I worked on a drill press, and, you know, for safety's sake. And so as this went on, and of course I would scratch and itch, and that would make it worse. And finally I did leave that job after my son was born. I was able to get a different job, but my condition didn't get better. They told me that after a few weeks, the doctor told me that after a few weeks, I'm out of that environment, that fiberglass net, I would be okay. But it was quite the opposite. I kept getting worse. And I got to the point where these sores and things were all over my whole body. And I would itch and I would scratch, but I could never get to the root of it. You know, when you got something on your skin, you can scratch it and that's it. But I could never get to the where it was actually itching. And this went on for 4.5 years. And I got to where literally I looked like I had leprosy. Because of these, I don't mean to be gross, but that's the way it was, just oozing out of them. And I got to the point where gradually I was getting less and less sleep, maybe about 2 hours, 3 hours maximum in a 24-hour period. And that would be 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time, and then I'd wake up because I was scratching myself. And we had moved to Michigan, and I went to a specialist there. They put me on a diet where I could have 5 things. I could have duck, lamb, apples, sugar, and water. I mean, I didn't know much of a diet, but, you know, they said those are non-allergic items. Well, it didn't help. And so then we moved. I was told the climate would be better for me down south in New Orleans, and we had visited there once, so we decided to move there. And in the meantime, my daughter, my second child, was born, and she was one of these little ones that had this, you know, real fine, fuzzy hair, and it hurt me so much because I couldn't hold her close to me because that hair would just irritate my skin if it touched me, got close to me. But we moved to New Orleans, and then I went to a medical school down there, and they couldn't come up with anything. I went to a specialist, another specialist, and so he started to give me some shots, and I finally got some relief. And I began to feel a little better. And then one day I went in for a shot. He'd give me one a week. It was about, I think, 6 or 7 weeks. And he said that I can't give you any more shots because this is narcotics and you'll be allergic or you'll be addicted if I give you more. And within a week, I was just back in the same condition. So then they started trying other things. If you can imagine this, how many of you like oatmeal for breakfast? Well, you wouldn't like it my way. I had to sit in cold bathtubs of oatmeal because they said that would help. It didn't. I remember one morning in church, after church, it was not a suicidal thought, but I just gotten to the end of myself, and I was praying, Lord, I says, either heal me or kill me. I just can't. This was after about 3.5 years or so of going on like this. I said, I just can't deal with this anymore. And on the way home from church that morning, I had a total breakdown. I'm driving the car. Fortunately, it wasn't going fast. And I just lost control of myself. My wife got the car stopped. And but again, God helped me to go on. So through the course of this, I was to 5 different specialists and through 2 medical schools and the VA hospital and nobody could figure out what was going on until finally at the VA hospital they realized that what had happened was my pores were very open and this fiberglass particles had gone through the pores in my skin into my bloodstream and the fiberglass was in my bloodstream and that's why you could never get to the bottom of it, you know, and you're scratching. And they were going to do blood transfusion, but they decided that wouldn't work because fiberglass would still be in the, you know, particles in my veins. And so I was using about 1 pound of 1% cortisone a week at that time, just trying to get relief. And I might, you know, it would help me for maybe 1/2 hour or so, and then it would wear off. And so it's okay, Lord, this, you know, I've been prayed for many, many times. And God just chose to let it go for his reasons. You know, some things we don't understand. In the meantime, my third child, a daughter, was born. And she was, we realized within a few weeks she had problems because her whole right side was totally paralyzed. And we dressed her like a doll, you know, dressed this side first and then the flexible side because her arm was stiff, her leg was stiff. And so when she was about 9 months old, well, we had had her to the doctor several times. When she was about 9 months old, they told us, well, she has brain damage. They said she'll never walk, she'll never talk. Just whatever she does, just be thankful for, bottom line. And so then a couple months later, she got an infection in her eye, and her eyeball was bulging out, brown stuff draining from it when she woke up in the morning. And, of course, we took her right to the doctor, and they put her in immediately into the hospital intensive care. And when they let us come in and see her, they had her, you know, strapped like this to the four corners of the bed, needles in her head, and she's like about 10 or 11 months old now. And if you can imagine what that does to you as a father, as a parent, mother or father. And they flew a specialist in, and he literally lived in the hospital for 9 days because they said, if we have to operate, we don't even have time to call you and get permission. You have to give us, or for you to come sign papers, you have to give us permission on the phone because they were, if this poison moved, it would have went to her brain. And of course, the church was praying, and our pastor, I'll never forget what our pastor said. I tell you, through different things and a couple more I'll share, you don't know how much I appreciate the church and the body of Christ. I called the pastor and I says, you know, why her? She's just a little kid. Let it happen to me. And I still got this fiberglass condition at this time. And he says, look, he says, you just take care of yourself and your family. He says, that's what the church is here for. We will do the praying. And you just take care of your family. You know, you don't know what a help that is. Because when you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to say. What do? But God is there. And so at any rate, this she began to get better and the poison subsided. They didn't have to operate. And so when she came, the day she got to come home from church, we were having special meetings, or from the hospital rather, we were having special meetings at the church, prophetic meetings. And at the end of it, I asked the pastor if she could be prayed for that night while the ministry was there. And the pastor said, of course. So at the end of the meeting, I took her down to the front, and she was prayed for, and no apparent signs of anything. We went home. We went to bed that night. And somewhere in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, I'm being shaken, and it was my wife shaking me. She said, are you okay? I says, you know, yeah, I guess I'm okay. She said, well, I've been laying here awake for 2 hours and I thought you were dead because you haven't moved for the last 2 hours. And you remember earlier I told you I'd get 15, 20 minutes sleep at a time, then I'd wake up scratching. So the bed was moving all the time, or most of the time. And she was afraid to touch me because she thought I had died. And I went right back to sleep and slept till time to get up in the morning. And I woke up in the morning, I had all the sores, they were oozing the whole nine yards, but I was not itching. And I wasn't prayed for that night now. My daughter was. But it took 2 or 3 months or so, and the sores gradually healed up. I mean, I was at the point I couldn't even take a shower. The water would hurt so bad, I would just kind of wash myself for a couple of 3 years as when it had got worse. And I went and took a shower, and it didn't bother me even with the open sores. The next morning, we're riding in the car going somewhere, and my wife started yelling, look, look. And I said, what? And my daughter's hand, for the first time since she was born, was open and warm because it had been a clenched fist and ice cold all this time. And, you know, just the sovereignty of God, you know. And you can't tell me miracles don't happen. I know better from experience. With her, it was a progressive thing. This was some years ago, but God is still, the healing is still there. She's 34 years old now. But she got to her, you know, Thanksgiving week, that week, she took her first steps. She was about a year and a half old. Took her first steps on her own. They said she'd never walk. They said she'd never talk. And if you sat out and had a conversation with her today, you'd never know there was a thing wrong with her. she has a little paralysis in her side. She has weaknesses, you know, some things. I have scars on my body. I have places where I have indentations deep because I dug so much. But, you know, I don't consider that God not healing me. That's just a reminder to me of what God has done for me. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord for that. This is really not, in a sense, my testimony, but just to let you know, God still works miracles today. Not just 30 years ago or whatever. My daughter-in-law, she's been having some severe headaches, and they wanted her to go in for a CAT scan. They found an aneurysm on her brain that was 6.7, I think, centimeters, and they said at 7 it's critical. And this past week she went in for angiogram, or they go up with the camera and they look. And of course we had people all over praying. And the doctor, when he come in to report, he says, "I don't understand. I'm amazed." He says, "There's not even a trace of an angiogram or of aneurysm. Totally healed." That's just this week. So God still works miracles today. But like I said, there's so many things I could share, but a couple other things. We went on through the years and wound up living up in Oregon for a while, and then been living here in California for many, many years. And you know, Satan comes in and tries to destroy things in our lives, but God is so faithful always to be there for us. And I've only shared this one other time publicly, and that was when you folks were at the breakfast. Is just something that's a little bit hard sometimes, but a few years back, my wife was from Eastern Canada, so we would go back on vacation every 2 or 3 years, either the kids and all of us, or my wife and the kids would go when I couldn't. So my two oldest kids were already grown. My son was married now, and so she was going back this one year, she went back, and when I went to pay the tuition for my daughter at the Christian school, the secretary says, "Oh, well, your daughter's not coming next year, right?" And I says, "Why are you here to pay?" I says, "Well, yeah, she's coming." "Well, your wife said she wasn't coming to school next year." And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, let me call the principal." So I went in, and my wife had given a letter to the school that she was leaving, taking the two younger kids with her and going back to Canada. And this is how I found out she left me. This was only like a week or two after she left. Normally she'd go for a month. And so that was very, needless to say, a very difficult thing for me. And so I called on the phone and I tried to talk and got nowhere. I flew back with tickets for all of us to come back, and I said, "Well, let's go to counseling." And she said, "Well, I won't listen to the counselor anyway, so why should I go?" So how do you deal with all of that? Anyway, through this, I became very discouraged, not with the Lord himself, just, you know, in general. I became not only discouraged, but I just started losing confidence in myself, in my work. Things that I would do every day, I would go out and look at the press, and I think, I can't even do this. I was sending my work out, and obviously when you're in business for yourself, supposed to be doing the work, and you send it all out, you're not making enough money to live on. And for the next 2 or 3 years, I was being taken to court constantly, sometimes almost every month and sometimes twice a month. And I got to the point where, you know, I couldn't even face people. A couple of times I went into a customer, and they said hello, and I just broke down and started to cry. You know, well, how do you explain this to, when I say strangers, you know, just business people? And the Lord just blessed. I didn't lose any of my customers through all of this. And I got to the point where I just thought, I would go to church late. I knew I had to be in the presence of God. I didn't blame God for any of this. I didn't understand it. So I'd go to church late. I would leave, you know, park my car at the end and leave just when they were closing in prayer so I wouldn't have to face people. And I got to the point, and I thought, "Lord, I know I'm a Christian, but are you just taking care of me because you're obligated by your word, or do you really love me? I just really would like to know that you love me." And I got to the point where I couldn't even pray. I didn't know what to pray. And so I would say, Lord, whatever the people in the church are praying for me, that's my prayer for the day. And someday, a lot of days, most of the days during that time, that was my prayer for the day. It wasn't that I was upset at God. I just was at the end of my rope, you know. And so I went on for this for almost a year, or a little over a year, just battling this. Lord, do you really love me, or are you just accommodating me? And I knew, because I know the scriptures. He says he loves us with an everlasting love. He'll never leave us or forsake us. I knew it from the word. I knew it in my head, but I just, somewhere, it was the enemy. I know it was the trick of the enemy, of course. I never shared this with one person, none of my kids, my pastor, anything. And so we were having special meetings again at the church and prophetic meetings, and the pastor asked me, I had gotten to the point where I could come and be in services, and I could, you know, I was basically being pretty much normal again as could be, talk to people. And he asked me if I would like to be ministered to. He wanted me to be, and I thought, well, okay, if you want me to be. And so the time, the service that I was called up to be ministered to, the prophet of God that was there, the very first words out of his mouth were, trophy of grace, trophy of grace. I placed you on my mantle, and you're my trophy of grace. And, you know, if you're just putting up with somebody or you're ashamed of somebody, you don't put it on the mantle, right? And that was the answer. You know, I didn't know how God was going to let me know he loved me. But that was his way of telling me, and that thing broke just like that. And I knew, not just from head knowledge or reading, but I knew once again of God's great love. And that's why I want to share with you this morning, whatever you've been through, whatever's gone on in your life, you might even be here this morning and not even a Christian, not know God, or from the pastor down to the youngest, you know, as Christians, we go through things. And sometimes we just, like I said, for a while, I just kind of hid from everybody. I didn't share things, or I went to church late and left early, so to speak, because some things you don't want to talk about. And maybe there's something in your life today that you're just having a battle, a struggle with. We all do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God loves you. He loves you. He's faithful. And whatever that is, you hold on to God. And even this morning, God can take care of that and minister to your need. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. We felt that testimony would be very good for us to hear here, what God is doing, what he can do, and what he will do. We're going to have prayer time, and I got a couple of things I want to share with you. I want to read a letter to you here from Sweden. And I did take time to translate that this week into English, so it's easy to do. We've been asking God for the Holy Spirit to move powerful. We have asked for the Holy Spirit to simply convict people of their sin and change them. And this took place about 2 weeks ago, and I'll read it to you here. I want to start by thanking God for your sermons. I am going to honestly confess that in the beginning, I did not have the strength to listen. Neither did I want to listen, because it would cause me to take a stand for what you were preaching. Today, August the 2nd, 2009, when I listened to your sermon, this is a live broadcast, and the person is from Sweden. When I listened to your sermon, I was touched by what you were preaching. Jesus moved upon my heart, and I thank God and you that you exist and that you preach the truth without excuses and what Jesus is laying upon your heart. The situation in Sweden is like this, that I cannot find anyone who is aware of truth to preach salvation and judgment, and I'm crying and praying to God that he will send preachers to Sweden who dare to preach about upcoming judgments and truth, and who are on fire for Jesus. I have a long time been fighting my condition, one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus. Despite that, I know that it is not going to work, since Jesus wants 100% of me. But now after your sermon, I have a new prayer in my heart to get courage to talk about Jesus to all people I will meet and have the opportunity to boldly share Jesus and win people for Christ and to get them saved. I was saved when I was 11 years old and received Jesus into my heart when my mother got saved. This was followed by a very difficult time in school where I was persecuted. My stepfather became schizophrenic at this time and heard voices in his head all the time. And at the kitchen table, he could sit for hours and sometimes all night and only speak in the name Jesus over and over again. He became a fanatical Christian, but in the wrong way, and forced the family to believe like he believed. It is because of this background that I resisted rededicating myself for a long time. After my wife rededicated her life to Christ, including becoming aware of the Christmas tree, now we understand that this is true, and I thank God that we have cleaned our home from these sinful traditions. Together with my wife, I am going to listen to your sermons over the internet and to include you in our prayers. I am asking you to pray that I should become bold for Jesus and testify what I have experienced to other people. We're living in a very tough neighborhood in Gothenburg, where many people have moved who are unhappy and need Jesus. I have been afraid to witness, and I want Jesus to take control of my whole heart and fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I cannot stop to witness. I can no longer be silent. I want to be like the prophet Jeremiah, who could not but to speak what God had laid upon his heart. I am wishing you a blessed week and God's rich blessing as you are serving in God's army. With friendly greetings, and he has a synonym, actually this is not his real name, but he calls himself Grace Man. And so this is a big praise the Lord. And I remember when we started in December last year to do our webcast, that we, on a Tuesday night, the whole prayer group of us, we went up into the sound booth, the production booth in the back there. And we stood there, we laid hands on it, and we simply asked God to project this into the whole world and for the anointing to really come upon people. And this letter here, now this, his wife has been with us about 2 years listening. And she's a nurse, a registered nurse. And she has asked for prayer. God, touch my husband. God, touch my husband. I praise the Lord. Here's his letter. God did touch the husband. So we want to thank God for that. Also, we got a prayer request here that we're going to pray for. And this is from our sister Gina in Germany. And I sent this out to the elders and deacons and the leadership earlier this week. We want to pray here today. And she wrote, "It is not easy for me to continue my letter with a request, but I have to, for I have no other church. It is acting according to James 5, and when it says, 'Is any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church.' So with this, I call for the elders of the church to pray over me. It is also difficult because we are far away, but as in the Spirit, there is no distance. It might also be work that way. For nearly a whole week now, I have been suffering from serious diarrhea, and nothing stayed in me, not even water, or if you had a certain tea, Camelot tea. Today, even an amount of blood came out. I'm standing in faith for my complete restoration, and I resist that disease. So if you could please forward my request to the elders so they can pray for me." And this is signed Gina Weinrich. And we will have today the elders pray and thank God for her. Now, we got word about Thursday or Friday that God has touched her and that the diarrhea has left. She is recovering. She lost approximately 5 to 6 pounds when she was sick for about a week, week and a half. And so she is better, and she's thanking God for that. So today we want to thank God that He has heard our prayers as the elders begin to pray here from Tuesday and on this week. So we're going to do that. So with this, those of you that normally come up, would like to come up and pray with us, would you please come? And we will have our prayer time. And Thomas, I'm going to ask you to pray for Gina, thank God, and pray for continued healing. And the rest of you, if you would like to stand, and as we pray, and I'm going to ask Charles if you would come and you would pray for Grace Mann, and thank God for him. So let's start with Thomas.
Okay. First of all, I want to say to Gina, if she's listening, that I did get the email from the pastor, and then it was God putting it on my heart during the week, and so I prayed for her every day. So I prayed for you every day, and also for your family. So it's good to hear that report that you're healing. So, and we also want to thank you for all the work that you do in the interpretation and in the constructing the German website. So we want to say thank you for that. So Father God, we thank you for putting Gina in our ministry and working with us, Lord, and also for her husband and her daughter. And we thank you, Father, for the good praise report that we heard, that she's already been healed and that she's rising up again, Lord. We also want to lift up her husband to you. We thank you, Father, for blessing him, healing him, giving him total control of mind, body, and spirit, Lord. And we thank you for doing that also. And also her daughter, the good praise reports that we've heard about her and that she's doing well. So we thank you for continuing to have your protection over the daughter and raise her up to be a woman of God. We thank you, Father, for helping her as she does the German website. We know it's a lot of work, and we thank you for blessing her mightily for it, Lord, meeting all their needs personally, financially, spiritually, emotionally, for everything that she needs, Lord, and that her family needs. We thank you for that in advance. We know that your hand is not short. And we know that the blessing is already on the way. And I'm reminded of Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Lord, we know that it's there before we ask. That's how you operate, Lord. And we thank you for faith. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Father, we thank you for this testimony from Grace Mann of someone who has heard your truth, that your Holy Spirit is here and present here on this earth, and that you haven't let it yet and released us, but that you're still here present and working on individual hearts. So, Father, we thank you that his relationship with his wife will, I'm sure it's been strained, will just simply be restored, and they will have joy together as they live and serve together. And Father, in the book of Acts, it says that they prayed for boldness after they were persecuted. And Father, we just ask that you would just give him that He is going to encounter resistance as he goes out and shares with people. But nevertheless, Father, we ask you give him boldness. And that he will not be deterred. And just as Thomas mentioned, Hebrews chapter 11, it says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, Father, we just ask that you would just have him press in towards you. That it wouldn't just be a commitment where he makes it and then grows cold slowly. But that he would be excited and be vibrant and it would be something that would last. And that he would finish strong here on this earth. We thank you for this now in Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, you told me just now, so we're going to pray for Andrew. Come here, Andrew. Can you get up in that chair? Okay. This is Andrew, and I was really touched by God. You know, he comes up with his dad. He's serious, and, you know, he wants to pray and seek the Lord. And I remember when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I was in Sunday school, probably about 13, and they had me to read a little something in the closing. And the paper wrote it up, and it said the little preacher, John Terrell, had been speaking in a Mission Covenant church. And I believe that this man here is going to be a preacher. You're already preaching, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's anoint him with oil and pray for him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this child. We thank you, Father God, for another generation in our family. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would touch Andrew. Let your anointing increase upon him, Father God. Give him wisdom beyond the years as he's growing up. Father God, help him to learn to read fast, to write, and to, Lord, to be a man of God that he will use as he's growing older. And we pray, Father God, that even as he become a young boy, that, Father God, he'd be able to begin to share Christ with people and lead them to Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we bless you right now for Andrew Terrell. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Okay. When you do that, I'm going to pray for another thing, and then Tom's going to read a scripture here. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you right now that you are moving here today. And Father, we don't have a bulletin. We don't have a set order of service. The Holy Spirit can change it the way he wants. And I want to lift up another man in Sweden right now, Mons. And Father God, I thank you that as he has served you on this gallbladder and they cleaned out things in it, Father God, a few weeks ago, that he's healing right now, and he's feeling so much better. And we thank you right now, Father God, for the Holy Ghost to come down upon Mons, for the top of his head to the sole of his feet, and to heal him, Father. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Give him strength and courage and power. Lord, he's doing a lot of things for you right now, but let him excel, and let him be one of the men in Sweden that would stand up in his last day and say, thus says the Lord God Almighty. And we thank you, we praise you for that right now. We thank you, Father God, for everything you're doing in our church. I thank you for every person being here today. And we praise you right now. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay.
Okay, this is for Gina. And I heard it on the radio this morning on the way in. I actually turned to it while I was driving. But a preacher had mentioned it, and I just looked at it. But I believe he gave it to me to give to you. And it's Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. It says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So I believe that was for you, that he's going to re-strengthen you. So, amen.
Let's have the outlines handed out.